rambles in the wilderness. We can't find what we need. We get a little restless from the searching, get a little worn down in between. Like a bull chasing the matadors, a man left in his own skin. Everybody needs someone beside him, shining like a lighthouse from the sea. Brother, let me be your shelter. I'll never leave you all alone. I could be the one you call when you're low. Brother, let me be your fortress. When the night winds are driving on, I'll be the one that lights the way, bring you home. Face down in the desert now, there's a cage locked around my heart. I found a way to drop the keys on my failures, where now my hands can't reach that far. I ain't made for rivalry, I can never take the world alone. I know that in my weakness I am strong, but it's your love that brings me home. Brother, let me be your shelter. I'll never leave you all alone. I could be the one you call when you're low. Brother, let me be your fortress. When the night winds are driving on, I'll be the one that lights the way, bring you home. And when you call and need me near, say where you go, brother, I'm right here. And all those days when the sky begins to fall, you're the blood of my blood. We can get through it. Brother, let me be your shelter. I'll never leave you all alone. I could be the one you call when you're low. Brother, let me be your fortress. When the night winds are driving on, I'll be the one that lights the way, bring you home. Brother, let me be your shelter. I'll never leave you all alone. I could be the one you call when you're low. Brother, let me be your fortress. When the night winds are driving on, I'll be the one that lights the way, bring you home. I'll be the one that lights the way, bring you home.
All right, you guys can high five the person next to you and take a seat.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies. Till all my fears are gone and I'm no longer a slave to fear, 'cause I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, 'cause I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. Sing that again. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. And your blood flows through my veins. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. 'Cause I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. 'Cause I am a child of God.
Dear God, thank you so much for bringing us here this morning, giving us the opportunity to gather together in fellowship to learn. God, I pray that you just help us to have ears to hear, and I pray you help us to stay focused. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You guys can be seated.
Can you hear me all right? This thing working? Yeah. All right. So we're in a series called The Bridge. We've been in this for the past few weeks. We're going to kind of wrap up this morning, kind of review what's been talked about, what's been taught the past few weeks. But I just want to start out telling you, if you see me kind of get a little weak-legged, or if I have to sit down, or if I even fall, I turned 31 a couple weeks ago, and so yesterday I went to a birthday party at a trampoline park, and if you know me, I get in with the kids, and I'll do anything they do. If it's physical, if it's competitive, I'm right there. So the trampoline park has this little place where they have dodgeball, and I'm all over it. There's like these little 8-year-old kids, and I'm just nailing them, buddy. I'm all over it. Jumping around, throwing. So my shoulder's about to break this morning. So my glutes, I guess you call these, your butt muscles, they're a little sore this morning. So you can't stand still in a trampoline park. You got to jump. So. Anyway, that's where, if you see me get a little tired or whatever, that's what's happening. So, again, we're in this sermon series called The Bridge. We've been talking about how we connect to each other, how we connect with Christ, how we connect through the church, through the body of believers. And like I said, we're going to wrap this up a little bit. So this week, and get ready for Freeway, which is coming up. So I'm the guinea pig for the live streaming this morning. So if you're out there on Facebook, good morning. Good to see you. You're making me a little nervous, but so we've talked about baptism, and we talked about communion, all those ways that it connects us to each other, connects us to the church, and how baptism is just a symbol of how we're not ashamed to be a follower of Christ, and we're not ashamed of what's going on in our life. We're ready to follow Christ, and it's kind of a symbolic way in saying we're becoming part of the church family. Mike talked about how it's like once you're baptized, you're not alone. You're with the rest of the church. You're together, and we have a support group. We're not designed to do life alone, so it's good to have other people around us and in a biblical community where we can build each other up and just help us to grow closer to Christ. And we're also able to help carry each other's burdens. So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit this morning. We're going to be in Galatians 6, verses 1 through 10. If you're looking at your worship guides, nobody made a mistake. There are no bullet points this morning. So usually we have a little fill in the blanks, but kind of left that blank this morning. So you can fill in however you want, take notes however you want. But before we start into Galatians 6, I want to kind of back up and just give you a little bit of the backstory from this. The Galatian church is kind of just, they're about to self-destruct. They're kind of falling apart from within. There's lots of division going on inside the church. So Paul's writing to them. He's trying to get them back on the right path, kind of give them some encouragement. So we'll look at, first of all, we're going to look at Galatians 5, verses 14 to 15. And he says, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another." So you see there in verse 15, he's like, if you guys you're biting and devouring each other, you're gonna kill each other from within. You're gonna be consumed by each other. So he's kind of giving some warnings there. We're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves and not devour each other. Another little point there in the same chapter, chapter 5, verse 26, says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another." Again, there he's kind of warning them, let's not provoke each other and kind of poke and prod at each other and cause division amongst ourselves. Let's be a family like we're supposed to be. So there was division all throughout the church. We had Jewish believers that were pushing their law, the Mosaic law. They were pushing that on the Gentiles, saying you have to be circumcised, you have to do all this, you have to do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. So that was causing division. Well, there was also some Gentiles who were trying to follow what the Jewish laws. They were trying to be like the Jews and do all the things that were required through the Mosaic law. And there was also Gentiles who knew they couldn't fulfill that role. They couldn't follow up and follow the Mosaic law. So there was all kinds of division. All these groups were pushing their agendas on the other groups and trying to get each other, saying you have to do it this way or you have to do it that way. And Paul's just telling them, be careful that you don't devour each other from within. So he's just kind of giving them some encouragement and telling them, watch out what you're doing. Just be careful. We're supposed to be a family here. But if we look at Galatians 6, 1 through 10, most of us probably recognize this scripture, this passage, as being one about carrying each other's burdens. We all remember, we know about how we're supposed to carry one another's burdens. We're supposed to look out for each other. Now, I have to say, a lot of people here at Cornerstone, there's a lot of people here that have this figured out pretty well. They know, they can sense when somebody has a burden, when there's something going on in their life, they need help. In the community, all around us, there's people that do way above and beyond what you would think people would do. A couple years ago, we moved, so we were just kind of moving across town. But if you've ever moved, it can be a burden, right? You got all this stuff. You're like, how am I going to do all this? So our church family found out we were moving, so they assembled a team. We had, we didn't have a whole lot of stuff, but, we had a family of three, and we had plenty of stuff to move. So it was in the middle of winter, and it had already snowed about a couple inches probably that morning, and I'm like, man, this is going to be an awful day to move. But it ended up being like 4 inches of snow by the time we got done moving. But it only took us a couple hours because we had this whole team. People were running back and forth, grabbing stuff, cramming it in the trailer. We got across town, we got it all unloaded. That's all in the house just within a few hours. So, again, I think a lot of people here have it figured out, and they're willing to help, willing to do things that might not be so fun, even moving in the middle of a snowstorm. And also there's kind of a group that has this email chain going where if somebody's in need, if they have a medical need, maybe they've had a surgery and they're down for a couple weeks, or in our case, we had a baby. So my wife, of course, she couldn't do much for a couple weeks, and I was tending to the kids and all this. So The group, they actually cook meals for people that are in need. So we received a couple meals throughout that, and it was a blessing. You don't think about how much of a blessing it is just to have a hot meal just come right to your door and drop it off, and you're able to just take a minute and relax and not have to worry about getting everything ready and cleaning up dishes and all that. So like I said, a lot of people here, this church has a lot of that figured out. We're good at helping people carry burdens. We could always do more, obviously. I don't think you could ever do enough to serve other people, but there's a part of this passage that I think for a lot of people, not just Cornerstone, but as believers, there's a part of this passage that I think we've missed. We'll get into that a little bit here in a minute, but you know, we're okay with the idea of carrying physical burdens. You know, we're good at helping with burdens like financial burdens. There's a number of people here in this church that are just, you know, they're blessed financially and they're able to give and see somebody in need, they give them money. Or there's people here that are, you know, they love kids. They help you out. They might come babysit your kids while you have to go take care of something. We're really good at taking care of those physical needs and sometimes even emotional needs. There's part of this that, like I said, I think we've missed. You know, we're not only responsible for helping each other with our physical needs, but there's a spiritual side that comes along with that. So we're going to look at verse 1. In Galatians 6, you know, burdens can be physical, they can be emotional, and they can be spiritual. So verse 1 says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." So you could change that word transgression to sin, if you know, to kind of get into the theme here. So if someone's caught in sin, those of us who are spiritual are supposed to restore them. And this is not like when it says you're caught in sin, it's not like I caught you red-handed, you know, like the Bible police. I got you. Caught you in a sin. It's not what he's talking about here. He's saying if someone is just caught entangled, someone's trapped in sin, maybe it's like a picture of drowning in sin. You know, the idea is here that if somebody's committing blatant sin, that it's out in the open. They're not remorseful or repentant about it. They're just going on with their life, and it's just like, they're trapped. They're entangled. And as Christians in a community of faith, we're called to restore that person. You know, we're called to go to them and help them out of that sin. And it says, you know, here he says, if those of you who are spiritual, he's not talking about like the spiritual giants, those who are the elite in the church. He's talking about all of us. Anybody who's a believer, anybody who has put their faith and trust in Christ is spiritual because they have the Spirit living in them, right? We have the Holy Spirit. Once we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit. Just a little point to point that out, a little scripture from Galatians 4:6. It says, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So if we're sons and daughters of God, we have the Spirit living in us. So when he says those who are spiritual, he's talking about anybody that's a believer. So if you're a believer and you know somebody is in sin that and you could help them out, we're called to go to that person. We're called to go to them and restore them. You know, I think our society has kind of pulled us away from this. One of the reasons we don't, we're not real good at doing this. We're not good at restoring somebody in sin is because we don't want to be viewed as judgmental, right? We don't want somebody to say, well, you know, you're not perfect either. Why are you judging me? But you know, this whole thing is, you know, we think if we confront somebody that we're being judgmental, and the Bible says we're not to judge, right? It says don't be judgmental. But, you know, we think it's none of our business what people are doing. And, we're just afraid of that confrontation that might come. But you know, really judging someone is when we do nothing. When we just sit back and we watch somebody go down a path of sin, we watch somebody who's caught in sin and we just kind of avoid it. Or even worse, we gossip about them. You know, in the church, there's our fair share of gossip goes on in the church. We talk about other people's sin, to other people besides the person that's sinning. And, you know, I think that's where we've kind of missed this whole point of restoring. And, we shy away from what God commands us to do and what the Bible tells us to do. You know, when we do nothing and we try to say, well, I want to stay out of the mess. And we come up and form an opinion about this person or about the sin, and we just talk about it. You know, sometimes we even, we'll feel a little bit compassionate. We'll have a true concern, but rather than go to the person or, you know, go to them and I don't like to say the word confront, engage them. We make a prayer request out of it, or we tell other people, again, we start talking about the sin. It's not bad to make a prayer request, but we have to be careful that we're not just trying to make a clean gossip, I guess you'd call it, kind of make a prayer request about somebody's sin. But the Bible says we're supposed to go directly to them and restore them. We're supposed to help them. So, you know, if we saw somebody, back to the point of being entangled or trapped or drowning, if we saw somebody literally drowning, if we saw somebody in a river or a stream, whatever, literally drowning, we would do everything we could to save them, right? We may not jump in, we may not do whatever, but we would try something. We would, all of us here, I think, would have enough compassion. We'd try to do something to help them get out of there. And the same goes for if we see somebody who's living in sin, who's going down this path. If we really love somebody, if we care about people, if we love our neighbor as ourselves, then we're going to try to help them, right? We're going to do whatever we can. And you know, we have to be able to share the truth. But speak it with a little bit of grace. We've talked about several times here. Mike has given many messages about the balance between truth and grace. We have to be willing to tell somebody when they're out of line or, when they're going down a path of that's not, per se right. But, we have to have a little grace with that too. We get so easily, just like I said, we kind of push it to the side or sweep it under the rug and kind of, well, they'll finally come out of this eventually. But if somebody's drowning, you don't say, oh, well, they'll finally catch their breath and they'll get out. They'll be okay. But that's kind of the picture here I want you to get is somebody's drowning, somebody's trapped, they can't get out. We have to help them. That's what a burden is. It's a weight that's too heavy for us to carry alone, and we have to help each other out. We might, you know, speaking the truth might hurt. You know, sometimes the truth hurts. You've heard that phrase before. Speaking the truth to somebody could hurt, but it may save them from a hurt that would be greater in the future. You know, if we kind of just hide it and don't say anything and don't go to them, then they could go into a lot deeper into that sin and become hurt even more and hurt others around them even more. One little scripture here is from Proverbs 27, 5-6. It says, an open rebuke is better than hidden love. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. So if we're hiding this love, if we hold back our rebuke, if we hold back our engagement or confrontation to somebody who's in sin, then it's even worse than if we go to them. So like I said, the truth hurts, but it could save us from a deeper hurt later. And you know, I want to go back to the first scripture there where he says we should do this with a spirit of gentleness. We got to kind of think about what gentle means. Gentleness is kind of a relative term, right? Some people are just hard-headed, right? I mean, you could go at some people just full-on MMA, just swinging punches, kicking, biting, whatever, and it's not going to faze them. They're just going to be like, yeah, so what? I don't care. I'm going on with my life. And then some people, you can give them a funny look and they just crumble, right? I mean, there's a balance you have to figure out. You know, if you're going into this with the right motive, if you're going into this prayerfully and spirit led, you're going to know how to engage the person, right? I mean, if it's somebody that's really, really hard headed, you might have to go at them pretty hard and, just be kind of harsh and tell them, you know, this is, you're in the wrong place here. You got to figure this out. And then some people, you just have to be more loving, I guess, and kind of more timid and gentle. But the main thing he's trying to get across here, Paul's trying to get across, is to be humble. You know, don't go into this thing with pride, thinking you're better, that you're above this person, or that you've got it all figured out. He's just telling us to be gentle in the way we come across. You know, we're not above this person. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of God's plan. So just be careful how we approach this is what he's saying. Be gentle, be careful. And, if you, like I said, if you're being spirit led, if you're prayerful about this and before you go to this, you'll know what to do. You'll know how to best engage the person. The next little bit of scripture here, I think it's the end of verse 1. It says, keep watch on yourself lest you too be tempted. So Paul's just reminding us here. He's giving us this statement to remind us that we're all prone to sin, right? And again, we're not above this person. We're not above sin ourselves because we've all fallen short. So it's kind of, you know, guarding us, telling us, hey, don't just be careful that you don't get into this and that you don't get puffed up and get prideful, because we're all vulnerable to sin and we could all be in the same place at one time or another. But he's kind of just reminding us to say, hey, don't be prone and don't get into temptation. Don't let yourself fall to that as well if you're going into this situation of confronting someone who's in sin. You know, we got to be careful not to get proud. You know, pride can creep in from both sides of this situation. If we're going to correct someone or engage someone who's in sin, we can be prideful and we can think and become puffed up and think, oh, I'm so much better than this person. I'd never do that kind of sin. Or from the other side of that, if we're receiving a rebuke, you know, if we're if we're the one who's on the receiving end of this correction, it can be easy to be prideful and say, you know, you're no better than me. Why should I listen to you? So we got to be careful about that. And, you know, we just have to be really, really, really careful about how we come across and why we're doing this. What's our motive behind going to somebody? So when we look at verse 3 here again in Galatians 6, it says, if anyone thinks they're something when they're not, they deceive themselves. So here again, we have to be careful when we're approaching somebody or engaging somebody. You know, if we think we're something we're not, we think we're maybe elite or we're spiritual, more spiritual than this person, or we're above this person. He's saying you're not anything. You're just the same as everybody else around you. So just be careful before you engage someone. We have to examine ourselves and make sure that our motive is compassion. You know, not that we're trying to prove how godly we are, but that we're actually wanting to get in there and help. We want to get in the mess. We're willing to get in the mess that this person's in and help them out of it. And if we're living by the Spirit or in step with the Spirit, then we'll be able to do this. We'll be able to engage somebody in the situation and not become prideful and sinful ourselves. You know, Eugene shared last week about pulling the plank out of our own eye before we can pull the speck out of somebody else's eye. We got to look within ourselves and figure out, you know, why am I here? What's my motive? Why am I trying to go to this person? And what can I do to help this person out of this situation? You know, we have to examine our own heart and approach them with compassion and not condemnation, because like I said, we're all sinners. Like Romans 3:23 says, right? We've all fallen short of the plan. So we have to remember that before we ever try to go into this situation. And one thing, you know, that I was thinking about as I was going through this is we have to be especially cautious when there's somebody in our family, you know, if it's with our relatives that's caught in this situation. We have to be especially careful because, you know, a lot of times we're worried about our family's reputation and not really worried about the person and what they're doing and how it will affect their eternity. We may be more worried about how other people perceive our family, right? I've been in this situation where a family member does something that's just way out there, like you never thought that would come and never thought would happen. And you start thinking about, well, what's the community going to think about my family? You know, we're supposed to be good people, right? You know, so we have to be careful and make sure that our heart's in the right place and that we're not, the focus is not on us, or that the focus, we have to make sure that the focus is on that person and that their eternity and their soul, their well-being. So again, we just have to be careful as we're approaching people who may be caught in sin. The focus can't be on ourselves. You know, if somebody's, back to the illustration, if somebody's drowning, we don't, you know, if somebody's going to jump in and save that person, they're not thinking about their own well-being. It's all about the other person's well-being. So we have to think about that, not about ourselves. The focus has to be on them. Not too long ago, you know, here recently, in the past few months, someone I know really well has been in this situation where they're caught in a sin and they're out in the open about it. They're not shy about it. They're like, you know, this is kind of how I'm going to live, and I really don't care what everybody else thinks. And, you know, it's somebody that I look up to, and a lot of people look up to, and they're a follower of Christ and they're a believer. And it's like, you know, I couldn't believe this. I was just taken back at what I was hearing, like what this person was living in. And, you know, I was in my mind, I'm thinking, how can I help this person? And, I just wanted to go to them and just, you know, just grab them by the shoulders and shake them, like, what in the world are you doing? Why are you going down this path? What has gotten into your mind to make you think that this is okay? Like, you know, you're a Christ follower. You know, people look up to you. You shouldn't be doing this. And then I had to, you know, again, search within my heart and figure out how I should approach that person and how I should correct that person. And at what would be the gentle way to correct that person. And, you know, I kind of decided that the best thing to do for this person was just to let them know, you know, this is wrong. You know what you're doing is wrong, and just love them through it. So, sometimes that's the best thing to do is just, you know, if you're going, I don't agree with what you're doing, but I still love you. I'm going to stick around. I'm going to still be your friend, whatever. But you do know this is wrong. And, so it's a hard situation to be in. And, you know, we can be prideful, a lot of times, and this time I was getting into that. I'm like, I wanted to go just shake the snot out of them and say, wake up. But it was like, you know, I had to take a step back. So You know, we can also get prideful on the receiving end of this thing. If somebody approaches you and says, you know, I see this in your life. I know, you know what's wrong. I see this in your life. We can be like, well, you know, why are you coming to me? You're not perfect either. And kind of put the focus back on their sin, you know, instead of prayerfully looking at that and looking within saying, okay, is this person really seeing something that I need to work on? We kind of put the focus back on them or try to say, well, look what you're doing. You're doing, or look what so-and-so is doing. I'm not as bad as them. So we have to keep the focus, you know, if we're on the giving end, we have to keep the focus on the other person. If we're on the receiving end, it's got to look within us, not look at the other person's sins, but look at our sins and see what's really going on and try to work that out. But, you know, a lot of times we do get defensive in that situation. And I was trying to think of an illustration that would kind of work with this, but I thought about my childhood growing up. I played sports and I had a lot of good coaches. Some people have really mean coaches, but all of my coaches were pretty good and had good intentions. But it's kind of like if you're playing a sport and a coach sees you mess up really bad and they just get on you and up in your face and like, what are you doing? Why? What the heck was that? You know, come on, you can do better than that. You think, well, you know, you might get down yourself or you get mad at the coach and think they're just being really mean. But really kind of, I guess I figured out late, probably in high school, I figured out that if a coach is getting on to you, it's because they care about you and it's because they want you to do better. They know that you can do better. They see that you have potential, that you have hope. You know, if they're getting on to you and correcting you and saying you should have done it this way or you should have done it that way, sometimes it might not seem gentle. You know, they might be up in your face just screaming, spitting all over you. But it's one of those things where if you don't have potential, your coach may just ignore you. But if you have potential and you're better than the play you just made, the coach is going to correct you. So that's kind of how we could look at that from, if we're on the receiving end of a rebuke, we could look at it as, hey, I've got hope. Somebody really cares about me. Somebody loves me. They see the potential in me. They know I could be a better person. So that's why they're correcting me. So that's one of the things we could help us to remember when a correction comes our way, that it's because we have hope. Somebody sees enough potential in us and knows that we can do better than what we are. We're going to move on to verse 4 now. It says, each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. And here, I read this, I'm like, is this for real? It's kind of contradictory, right? You know, we should take pride in ourselves. Aren't we supposed to be not prideful and kind of be humble? But what this is saying is we should look at ourselves. We shouldn't compare ourselves to others around us. We shouldn't compare our actions and our life to those around us. You know, if we have a lot of spiritual friends or really mature Christian friends, we shouldn't look at them and say, oh man, I could never be that godly. I could never live to the standard that they're living to. Or maybe we're on the opposite end of that, and we have a lot of friends who are not so spiritual or maybe less moral. And then we look at that and say, well, I'm better than them. I'll never be that low in life. What it's saying here is we should be looking at ourselves and testing our actions against God's standards, not against somebody else's standards. So if we are per se maybe a better or more spiritual than somebody, that we're not comparing ourselves to someone else and taking pride and saying, that I'm better than them. We're taking pride in because we know we're in step with God, that we're living as up to His standard the best we can. You know, and the last part of that says, we're supposed to carry our own load. And again, that one's kind of like, well, wait a minute. Didn't he just say we're supposed to help each other carry our burdens? Like what's he saying now? We're supposed to carry our own load. Now, what he's saying here is that a load, the difference in a load and a burden is a load is just the normal day-to-day stuff that we have to carry, right? We've all got our own burden. We've all got our own load to carry. We're not just going to be able to go through this life and everybody else take care of us. So he's saying we have to carry our own load. Again, the difference in a load and a burden is the burden is we just can't handle it. It's way too much, and it's just going to push us down, and we're just going to crumble. But we have our own weight to carry. You know, we're all designed to handle so much, and that's why we need each other when we come under something that's way too heavy to carry. We need each other to help us handle that, and that's what this whole passage of scripture is all about, is we have to be able, be willing to carry our own load, you know, pull our own weight, but we also have to be willing to accept help from others when we come under a burden, or give help when somebody else is under a burden. You know, we look at that, we look back at the word restore, that's in the first verse. It says, the word restore here can be like physical or material. The word used for restore here is, it's kind of like, you know, if you have a broken bone, or maybe a torn net. The picture here is, you know, if you have a broken bone, the rest of your body is going to have to compensate. You know, if you break your leg, your other leg's going to have to compensate and help you carry that load, help your body carry its own weight. The same goes for the church. You know, Eugene talked about it last week about how we're all members of the body and we need each other to function properly. If one of us is broken, if one of us is hurt, then the rest of the family is hurt. So we have to, that's kind of the picture of this restoration here. And if we look at it like a net, if a net's torn, you're going to lose some fish, right? So the rest of the net has got to kind of capture and help get you back on track. But that's kind of the picture we're looking at here, is we're all a part of the body. We all need each other to help each other carry the load. Each one of us is important for the health of the church and health of the body of Christ. I was thinking about this whole series and the bridge and the connection and all this, and I looked at this illustration, or this banner, I guess you'd call it, this bridge here. You know, it's got an arch, it's got these, I guess they're cables going up, but each one of those strands and each point of that arch is designed, it's designed that way. You know, engineers had to go through and say, okay, how big does this need to be? How long does this need to be? What angle does this need to go at? And how do we make sure this bridge is not going to collapse when it's carrying the weight of whatever's going across it? You know, each one of those strands is holding its own amount of weight. You know, so if this bridge is to carry 10,000 pounds, there might be 10 strands. Each one's got 1,000 pounds of weight to carry. That's kind of the picture we're getting here. We have to carry our own load. Each one of us is, you know, the rest of us are dependent on each other to carry that weight. The same way with this bridge. If it weren't for all those strands, the bridge would collapse when something came through. So that's the picture we're getting here of carry our own load. We have our own weight to carry. But if one of those starts getting a little weaker, the rest of them are going to have to pick up the slack, right? So that's kind of the picture we're getting here, is, and it kind of, it fits well with the bridge and how, it goes. We're all designed to work together. God designed us that way. He designed us to only be able to carry so much and to need each other, and to need His strength. You know, we're stronger together because we can carry a lot more load together, right? That's pretty obvious that two are better than one, and a group's better than one. So we're better together. We have our own load to carry, but yet we're supposed to help each other when we get too much to bear. We're going to move on here to verses 6-8. It says, let the one who's taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. You know, these verses are pretty straightforward. We're going to reap whatever we sow. You know, if we sow to the flesh, if we sow to ourself, if we're looking at, if we're self-serving, if we're not worried about the people around us, then we're going to reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, if we're trying to live a godly life, if we're helping those around us, if we're selfless in our service, we're putting time and effort and energy towards those that are around us that are caught in sin, we're helping restore people, we're sacrificing our time, our energy, then we're gonna reap eternal life. You know, it starts with a firm belief in Christ and that He saved us from our sins and repentance. And then we have to sow to the Spirit. We have to be willing to give of ourselves and sacrifice and love our neighbor as ourselves. And then we'll reap eternal life. You know, I think something that gets in our way a lot of times when we're talking about this restoring, or carrying burdens, something that gets in our way of doing that is we just simply get worn down. We get fatigued. I thought when I read this, I thought, man, some people just wear me out. You know, there's some people that just seem to have a problem all the time. But that's what we're called to do as Christians. We're called to help each other, no matter if it's 1,000 times or one time. We're called to help each other and restore each other and carry burdens, because we can't do life alone. I know we've all been in a situation where we just thought we couldn't go on, and somebody stepped in and said, "Here, I'll help you carry this," or I'll help you figure out how to get through this, but don't give up. And that's what Paul's telling us here. He tells us in the last sections of scripture we want to cover, in verses 9 and 10, it says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith." So again, here, you know, sometimes we just get worn down, man. There's somebody you know that's come back and fallen into this trap and of sin. They're drowning. They've been drowning. You saved them. You got them out of that. You helped them get out of that mess, and they fall right back in it, or they fall into some other sin, or, you know, maybe just a lot of people in your life have a lot of burdens to carry. Maybe there's a lot of people in your life who have health issues, who are sick, and you're just all the time helping them. And maybe there's somebody who just all the time needs something. It seems like everywhere you turn, somebody's in need. Or maybe you're in that side where you're constantly in need. You're constantly needing somebody to help you. You know, Paul's just telling us here, don't grow weary. Don't give up. It might be hard. Life's going to be hard. We all have struggles. We're all going to have burdens to carry. We've been talking about this for the past few weeks, where we're all connected. We're all in this together. And, we just have to be ready and willing. Don't give up. Just if you're tired, if you're worn down, just keep the faith, keep pushing on. Don't give up. Don't give up. Let us do good. And then the last part of that says, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are in the household of faith. And, sometimes you might look at this and say, well, he's telling us not to worry about those unless they're faithful or unless they're a believer. But, he's saying, let's do good to everybody, but let's look out for each other in the church, maybe a little bit more. You know, that's what we do when we become family. We care more about our family per se than we do about those around us, right? Maybe we take care of them. We don't care about them more, but I guess we try to take care of them more. We don't not serve those around us in the community, but we especially help those who are in the family of faith, those who of us in this church that are connected through belief. We should help each other more so, or especially. And the first step in all this is that we become a believer, that we put our faith and trust in Christ, and that we receive His gift of grace. We can't do this without knowing Christ. We can't do it without His sacrifice. Without His example of coming to earth and living a perfect life, then going to the cross to die for us, and then resurrecting after that. We can't do it without that power. We can't do it without the sacrifice that Christ made. So if you're in this situation where you're just getting worn down, trying to help everybody and help and carry burdens, and you're about to ready to just give up, don't give up. Just remember that Christ, He carried all those burdens and then some. He carried it on the cross. He carried all of our sins, and that without that, none of us would even have a choice. We wouldn't even be here, so we wouldn't be able to help each other. I feel like I'd rush through that really, really quick. That's my spiel for this morning. The whole point I want to get across here is, you know, burdens are not just physical burdens. You know, there are sick people. There are people that need help financially. There are people who need that kind of care. But we also have to be willing to help each other in a spiritual battle. If we're in a sinful, living in a sinful life, and we're just falling to temptation over and over and over and over, we're called to go and help that person, restore that person, and not to be afraid to feel, you know, to be labeled as judgmental. You know, if we're going to somebody who's a Christian as well, then they may get defensive at first, but if the Spirit's working in their life, then they're going to come around and realize that, hey, maybe this person's right. I should take their advice. I should turn back to God and try to get out of this mess. But I'm going to go ahead and pray as the band comes back up. You've got several ways to respond this morning. Maybe you're here and you don't know Christ. Maybe you've never taken that first step of saying, hey, I believe that Christ died for my sins, that He went to the cross, and that through Him I can have eternal life. Maybe you need to take that step and just say, God, I repent. I believe in You. I'm sorry for my sins. I want to take that first step. Maybe you're already a believer and you need to look back and examine your heart. We can look at communion. The scripture that goes along with communion there says to examine your heart before you come to partake of the elements. So Just remember what Christ has done for you. Maybe you want to come up and do that. There's the cross up here. You can come up and kneel at the cross, pray at the cross. There's also the prayer box over on the little table over toward the cafe. You can go write out your prayer request. If you know somebody who's living in sin, who's got a burden, maybe you have a burden of your own, you just want to write that out. The elders, we pray over those each and every week. So just know that if you're in a need and you want to get that out and get it down on paper, just put it in there. Those are all confidential, but we do pray for those. Or you can just stay in your seat and sing. You can stay there and pray. Just talk to God one-on-one, share what's going on in your life. Or you can go back. We'll be in the back to talk if you need somebody to talk with or pray with. But just try to remember that this week and or throughout the rest of our lives. Let's try to be open and willing to correct people and be open for correction in our own life if we're living in some kind of sin. But I'm going to pray. If you want to come back and talk or come up, feel free to do that during these last couple songs. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your grace, God, your love, your mercy. We thank you for each one that's here this morning. We thank you for the connections that we have through the belief in you. We pray, God, that you would just help us to carry each other's burdens. Help us, God, to recognize burdens around us. If someone is in need, help us to be open to that. Help us to recognize that and be willing to step in and get dirty, get into the mess, and help that person out of there. We pray, God, that if we're on the receiving end of that, that if we're living in a sinful life, God, that if we're in a sin and we don't even realize it, or we're just past the point of caring about it, that you would just help us to see that through someone around us, God. Help us to restore each other and stay connected through you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Would you guys please stand as we continue worshiping?
Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave you, my love. Empty pleasures, all forsaken. Only you can satisfy every blessing, every pleasure. All my fountains are in you, in your mercy. Every morning, Jesus, keep me close to you. Here's my heart, Lord. Your courts above, fill this cup, Lord, overflowing. Only you can satisfy every season, always faithful. In my laughter, through my tears, every morning, there I find your perfect love cast out my fear. Every season, always faithful. In my laughter, through my tears, every morning, there I find your perfect love cast out my fear. Of my soul. every blessing, every pleasure, all my fountains are in you. In your mercy, every morning, Jesus, keep me close to you. Cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh Lord, our God. And on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trample death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King.
Sing that verse again. He shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Here comes that chorus.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forever.
Dear God, I thank you so much for this opportunity. I pray that you just be with us throughout the week, God. I pray that you just let us be a light for you, God. I pray that you help us to lift each other up and to hold each other accountable, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.